Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Monday episode of Sports Time Radio, and I guess I should have just said I'm back because I'm the Big Jack, and I'm going to start this off by myself, it looks like. But hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and help me out here, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Sundays. So even though we weren't here last week, unfortunately, I had to work a little extra time, so I was a little tied up. But the blogs did still go up, so get on over there, check it out in case you missed out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, I'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime. That's BurkeTime, if you want to look me up there. And, all right, well, let's see what we got going on today. I guess let's take a quick look at the Major League Baseball schedule because there's not much going on. We do have one game that just got underway about 20 minutes ago. The Miami Marlins are at the Boston Red Sox. The Marlins are starting Zach Thompson, who's making his Major League debut. And the Red Sox are going with Nick Pivetta, who's having a fantastic year for them. That is actually live on the MLB Network right now if you want to check that out. Then if you have the ESPN app, you can watch the Kansas City Royals at the Los Angeles Angels. We have another Major League debut as Jackson, I'm going to go with Kowar, gets the start for the Royals, while Dylan Bundy, who has really had an off year, I saw he was 0-6, and I think his ERA is in the sixes, he's going to get the start for the Angels. Oh, and then on ESPN, the regular channel there, we have the Chicago Cubs at the San Diego Padres. Now, remember, the Cubs just swept the Padres when they were here in Chicago last week, so I'm sure the Padres are going to look to bounce back while they're at home. Now, the Cubs are going to start their top rookie pitcher, Adbert Adbert Azale, while the Padres counter with Ryan Weathers. Really, really short baseball schedule, and kind of an odd thing. I don't think that's happened much this year. So we'll have to kind of see how that goes, and the way it works out is, well, this is a Red Sox game, it may run until that Royals Angels game starts, and then the Cubs game starts literally just 30 minutes after that. So you can just kind of play it by ear if you want to go from game to game, but just kind of see how you feel and check that out. But anyways, I was kind of thinking about the Red Sox, since they were the first game, and I have it on in the other room, I can hear it, but obviously I can't see it. They're still hanging out there at the top of the American League East. Now, they did fall to second because Tampa Bay had really played out of their mind there for a while. I think they won 12 or 13 in a row, or it may even have been more than that. But Boston's only one game behind them, and they did sweep the Yankees over the weekend, which of course caused, all kinds of drama in New York with the Yankee fans. And I know their announcer, Michael Kay, my buddy, if you've ever heard the podcast, he went off on the team, and I believe he called out DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Boone. So that was just one of those things, but The Yankees are, they're still over 500. They're 31-29, but they're 6.5 games out now. They're actually in fourth place as the Blue Jays are ahead of them by just a half a game. The Blue Jays are 6 games out. But, yeah, you know, you look at the standings and, you know, it's no surprise that Tampa Bay is there because however they do it, they just seem to get there. So, you know, they're right there. But nobody really expected Boston to be hanging out where they are right now. I get it. It's still kind of early. I mean, Boston has played 59 games. Today's their 60th. But, you know, it's hard to see them really falling apart. I guess it's possible, but, you know, it looks like they're going to hang around and possibly be a factor as the year continues to go on. And I did see that Chris Sale has rejoined the team. I don't know how far away he is from pitching. He recovered from Tommy John surgery, but if they get him back and you add him in, that's a big weapon there. I mean, Sale is he's a Cy Young caliber starter. So, we'll have to see how that goes. Then as we move along, we get out west, and sure enough, there are the Oakland A's in first place. Now, they're just a game up on the Houston Astros. But this was one of those things where nobody, I don't think, expected them to contend this year. And they're kind of turning into the West Coast version of the Tampa Bay Rays because every year they find a way to get in. And, I mean, they have some really talented young pitching. And it's just, a surprise that they're right there. And, we'll have to see how it goes and, if they can keep it rolling. But I don't know too many people, unless you're an A's fan, who, had them in that place. And, again, another giant disappointment out west, the Los Angeles Angels are 5 games under 500 and 7 games behind the A's. And, I know a lot of people were on the Angels bandwagon this year thinking they had done some stuff to improve, but it's not showing right now in the standings. So we'll see how they turn around. And, while we're out west, let's jump over to the National League. And, everybody had this division as being Dodgers-Padres, and yet it's the San Francisco Giants at 37-22 that are 2 games ahead of the Padres and 3 games ahead of the Dodgers. So let's see how that works out and what kind of surprise that goes. They've suffered some injuries. I just saw that Evan Longoria is out 4 to 6 weeks. So we'll see if they bounce, if they can continue to kind of roll along with him out. I don't know anybody who was picking the Giants for anything but third place. I don't think I saw anybody who had them in as a playoff team. And, you never know if they'll hang on. But right now, they have the best record in the National League. Oddly, the top 3 best records are all in the National League West, so it just kind of works out that way. And I didn't skip over the Central. This is just such an odd division. The Brewers and the Cubs are actually tied for first place. And the Cardinals are 2.5 back. The Reds are just 4.5 back, even though they're under 500. So it's a very weak division, and I think the injuries are really taking the toll on the Cardinals. They lost Miles Mikolas, who I saw went on the 60-day DL, and then over the weekend they put Byung-Young Kim on the IL. I said DL for Mikolas, it's IL. They've had a couple other multitude of injuries here and there that have just really taking a toll, and they hung on for a while, but we'll see. And then, Milwaukee is getting top quality starting pitching out of, you know, Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, and you can throw Freddie Peralta in there. And the Cubs are a huge surprise as well. I don't think anybody had, you know, the Brewers people thought might contend, but the Cubs, I think Dan may have been the only one I know who actually picked them to finish in first place. So, you know, we'll see how that goes there. And then, you know, jumping back into the American League, I didn't mention the Central because it's, with the exception of the Twins being a huge disappointment, it's kind of going as it is. The White Sox are on top. Then we got the Indians 4 back and the Royals 6 back. You know, and then the National League East is just, that's another division that's just a mess. There's only one team over 500, and it's the New York Mets. The Braves are 3.5 behind the Mets. The Phillies are 4 back, and then the Marlins and the Nationals are 7 back. So it's, you know, it's just been an odd division, and they just kind of seem to keep beating at each other, and the teams can't get away from anybody. So we'll, you know, we'll see how that continues to play out. Oh, hey, look, Dan's here. I'm glad I checked. Well, maybe he's here. I got to see if my computer will actually bring him in. There we go. Dan, did that work? I had a little issue there getting you to slide in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so there we go. But yeah, so what you know, what team has surprised you with the way they've played so far besides the Cubs?
I would have to agree with you, the Giants.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're just a huge surprise with the way they've, you know, the way that's worked out. Because I don't think none of us picked them for anything but third, right? I know I did.
Yeah, I don't think we went any farther than that.
Yeah, and I don't remember seeing anybody else, you know, going, you know, anywhere different with it. Yeah, it's been kind of strange. So we'll see how it goes.
I mean, I don't think it's that strange, you know. Well, I guess given that they don't have any superstars, that they're not the Dodgers. But I mean, if you think about it, Buster Posey had the time off. He's getting up there a little bit, so I think it was needed for him to have that rest. And, you know, the Brandons are playing a little better. So, I mean, this is a team that's always been there to compete. You know, it's just they don't have that pitching rotation that they did for 10 and 12 and 14, you know. So I think that's when you don't see that, it does make it surprising. I mean, and to be honest,
they've gotten good start. I mean, Kevin Gausman looked fantastic against the Cubs. And, you know, Johnny Cueto hasn't pitched bad either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, I do kind of question, you know, Bolt is still in. I know it's stretched. He went on the IL. Tommy La Stella is on the 60-day IL. So, I do wonder how long this kind of holds up. But I guess as long as the starting pitching continues to work, they're okay, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, just kind of interesting. But we'll see how it goes. You know, everything is so odd sometimes. And then I did want to ask. You know, Dan had a good fantasy week in one league and a rough one in the other. But just a little quick fantasy news. So this guy was either a draft pick or a late pickup, but Mariners ended up sending their top prospect, Jared Kelnick, down. Now, remember, he was one of the guys that everybody thought should have started the year with the Mariners. But, of course, they pushed him back because of the arbitration. Well, he appeared in 23 games for the Mariners. He did hit a couple bombs. He drove in 6, stole 3 bases. Dan, he's hitting .096. So I think the tick back to AAA was well deserved, don't you?
Oh yeah.
So we'll see if he can kind of right ship and maybe come back up later in the year and have a little better run of it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's always the frightening thing. You know, we see so many of these guys kind of not turn into what everybody keeps thinking they're going to be. And I just just kind of question right away, doesn't it? Kelnick is going to be another one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, well, let's start out with the good for you here, Dan. I know in the, I believe it was the Snake League, you had a really good week there. You went 16-4, and you're up to seventh overall in that league. So you are, slowly moving through. I just had another solid week. I went 12-6. And I'm still hanging on in fourth place, but that's just kind of how my weeks go. I don't ever seem to blow anybody out. I don't think I've won 16 games in a week like you did, but, did you check that team out? Who was rolling for you that you did so well?
Well, that's one of the hardest things is really trying to figure out who has put you over the top. So, part of it could have just been, the Snake League, I got my ass kicked. You're having me look at the wrong league.
Yeah, I was wondering which one this was.
Yeah, this the Auction League is where I dominated 16-4. Just a bit outside three, that's kind of like a name that sounds like something you would make up, to be honest. I got lucky with, I think, someone threw a complete game.
Zach
pitching solid. I thought it was Granke. I just couldn't remember. Of course, I lost the loss column because he only had one loss, but he had no wins.
Yeah.
I dominated there. I have a lot of strikeout pitchers, so that helps out a lot. And then, saves, I lost. But I had more holds, so the net saves versus holds, I won. And then I got four pitchers who had quality starts out of seven. So that helped out a lot. I mean, it's just all over the board. I mean, runs, hits, singles, triples, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, and the putouts in double plays term was what really, it was just batting, really. I just had a really good week. He just didn't... he didn't just do well.
Yeah. So, and then, sadly that brings us to the Snake League where, the good news is I went 17-10 and I actually moved up. I'm up to fifth now. You unfortunately went 9-20 and have dropped to 16th. So what happened?
I got my ass kicked. What can I say? It was just all across the board. This is my team that half the pitching is on. Well, I have, my two biggest relief pitchers are hurt. They never started. Batanz is in Britain. I had Carlos Carrasco is on the 60-day. And then Kwon Hyun Kim from St. Louis, but I think I'm going to drop him. He's hurt. I've got Jimmy Nelson, Brett Anderson, not doing much. Odorizzi's back. He's not doing much, and neither is Eovaldi. So, but, I had two wins that beat out the other guy. So, he just kicked my ass there, but the hitting just dominated me too, so... I have good defense. That helps out a lot, right?
You did play one of the better teams. This is the third place team you played. So,
yeah.
Because I think I played him the week before, and he beat me. Fortunately, not as badly as he beat you, but he ended up beating me as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, then somewhere, I don't remember which league it is, but somewhere along the line, I need to find a catcher. I just, you know, like I have Wilson Contreras in this league, in the Snake League, but in the other league, I'm running with, I think it's Victor Caratini and Tom Murphy. So I am just calling for a catcher. And I keep swapping out guys on the waiver wire, but I just can't hit on a guy. So but yeah, and then then it's one of those weird days, there's only three games today total, and I think I have three guys playing. So it's going to be a weird set day because I just don't have anything going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing we don't play by the day.
Yeah, fortunately. So, otherwise, yeah, that would be a disaster.
So, I mean, it just, one of the hardest things, Big Jack, though, was for the other league, it's where I have Lucas Giolito, and I pulled the jinx. I was at the game Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll do it. Now we know.
So, that ruined everything for me. I do kind of skating away from it for a second. Sunday before Memorial Day, my father-in-law's in town, God knows, only knows how much longer he has left on this planet. We wanted to get him in, so we took him to the Cubs game. And Saturday went to the White Sox game. And I'll be honest with Jack, diehard Cubs fan my whole entire life. I've only been to like 50 some Cubs games in my life, so you kind of figure over 30 years, that's really nothing percentage-wise compared to any season ticket holder, correct? And it just, I don't know how to put this any other way than I did not have a good time at the Cubs game. And I don't know if
why not?
Big Jack, if, like you always say, you're there to watch the game. You really don't get up to get food. Well, we got there right as, my father-in-law's old. I had to drop him off, go park my car, walk back. And then he walked super slow because, he's 90 and for whatever reason didn't bring his wheelchair with him, which would have helped us out a lot. As my dad always told me, did you get stupider as you get older? We get in line, finally. I waited a couple innings to go. Because I'm thinking, we've got mobile ordering. Well, and that's the first thing I did. I did mobile ordering, and I accidentally put the wrong section in, okay? It was one section over. It wasn't like I picked a section on the other side of the stadium, right? No, it was one section over. 30 minutes, and that was in the first inning. Bottom of the second, food still hasn't came. I get a text after I go down to customer service that they tried delivering my food, and we weren't there. Where are you sitting? So I put the section in. And then they ended up coming in about the fourth or fifth inning. And mobile ordering sounds great, right, Big Jack? You get to order from your seat, and they bring it to you. Well, that only works if you're ordering water, a hot dog, or alcohol. Anything else, you have to go down and get. And if you do a mobile order, you place the order, they text you when it's ready, so to speak, and then you go down to the mobile order checkout line and you scan the thing, and they scan it. Well, you have to get in line. And Big Jack, the lines were just the entire concourse for Wrigley Field was all lines to get food. Because you really don't have any option. They say to go upstairs. Yeah. So for me to go down and get the food, I was gone for an inning and a half, roughly.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. So, they've done some great things on the outside of the ballpark, but the Chicago Cubs, the owners, Jed, I don't care who it is, they do not have any consideration for the honestly, for the fans at all. I mean, it's just, it was probably the most disappointing experience I've had going to Wrigley. So, I mean, if you mobile ordered it, you're standing in a long-ass line, and you're thinking, oh, I did a mobile order. Why isn't that coming up? And so then I'm standing in line, the regular line, and they have one person working the regular line. They don't have anyone helping this person. So, you know, it took forever. So it was just, very disappointing. And then, you know, the first time that I've gone where the men's bathrooms were longer than the women's to get in, but we must have had a lot of guys going to the game that day. And, you know, they on the second deck, they put all these nice accommodations. You know, they have like a seating area for all the employees to go take their lunch breaks and all this and that. But they didn't make any, and that's a nice improvement and all, but they didn't make any improvements for the fans. You know, any other modern baseball stadium, when you walk up, when you're in the second deck, you walk up, there's bathrooms up there. There's, you know, concessions. They don't have any of that. So if you're going to a Cubs game, Big Jack, and I don't recommend you do because of the price also, you know, eat before you get there. Bring in your bag of peanuts. Bring in your liter of water because you could bring in a liter. And don't leave your seat because it's not worth it. You know, piss in the bottle that you bring with you, too. You know, bring an extra one. Well, you can't bring an empty bottle, but if you could, you know, get one of those astronaut things because it's not that, I don't know. It's just very disappointing. And I think having gone to modern stadiums, it's just the accommodations are so much better. And you would think a year and a half they had to figure out how to put the system together. And I get it, you can't really know how things work until they happen, but this was always an issue with Wrigley Field and the fact that they didn't improve it. They actually made it worse just to find the fact that I really have no desire to go to Wrigley Field in the near future. I'll probably just continue to go to the south side because I had a great time Saturday sitting in Comiskey. You know, I had to go to the bathroom, ran to the bathroom, didn't feel like standing in line to the big lines. So I just kept walking, and I found one that was shorter. And I was only gone for not even a half an inning. But that's because I was also looking around. You know, that's the other thing, Big Jack. Comiskey has, guaranteed rate, has definitely more food options. So it's like, do I want this? You know, there was a hamburger stand. I'm like, nah, you know. I'm definitely not ordering Beggar's Pizza because I live by Beggar's, and I'm not paying $7 for a slice when I could pay $10 and get my own personal pizza by my house. So, you know, the pizza's out of the question, but that's just because I live, you know, 5 minutes from one. But, you know, it's just a much better time I had at the White Sox game than I did at the Cubs, except for the fact that I had Lucas Giolito pitching on my fantasy team, and he's...
Yeah.
So that's kind of my recap. So,
that's rough. So,
yeah,
you know, it's disappointing that mobile ordering isn't really that great.
No, it's actually just it doesn't make any sense the way they did it. It makes absolutely no sense. So they were not prepared at all. And I'll be honest, I know the 100% capacity is coming up at the end of the month, but when I look and I'm sitting there with 60% capacity, you're sitting in the stands going, wow, it's 60%. It looks like a lot of people are in their seats. And then you go downstairs and you're like, if all those people are in their seats, how the hell are there so many people downstairs? You know, so. And it was actually the same thing with Comiskey this weekend. It was packed, so 60% is a big deal. You know, it is a lot of people when you figure it. But the one thing the White Sox did, you know, was no more, you couldn't access the level that you weren't on. Or before, you can go down to the main concourse. But this time they were checking tickets. You couldn't even get into that concourse without, you know, the proper ticket. So, but, you know, I did get my Hawaiian shirt, my Hawaiian Sox shirt that I gave to my brother-in-law or my nephew that took us to the game. And I was laughing because this morning some jackass on Facebook was trying to sell that same cheap promo gift for $75 on Facebook. But
after
everyone, after everyone called him out on his BS, that post was taken down immediately.
Well, that's good. Yeah, well, you know, there's always some schmuck out there who's going to try to do that kind of thing. So,
I mean, you know, I mean, selling it for $20 is one thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just kind of a little ridiculous there. But again, you know, that's how people get. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but, you know, in your town, if whatever, you know, if you're not in Atlanta or Texas, I'd say go to a game, have a good time. You know, masks disappeared pretty quickly. It's amazing how the whole COVID thing was just kind of taken over, and then magically, you know, 5 months into a new presidency that was wanted, so to speak, everything just kind of disappeared, you know?
Yeah, you know, it is a little strange. I guess we found other things to worry about, huh?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of one of, you know, one of those things. That's kind of how it always goes. You know, something comes along, and then we get something else to worry about, and
yeah,
you know, that's it.
And then we'll be racially fighting again in 3 years. You know.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of, you know, just kind of how it goes. So, you know, we'll come up with something else, or, you know, however it works out, and it'll be like, oh, okay, remember this? So, what can you do? You know, that's just kind of how it goes. But I did want to get your thoughts on this. I know it's really off topic for you and I to kind of discuss this kind of thing, but have you read or heard or seen any of this Naomi Osaka news? You know, she was the tennis player that came out and said that she would not speak to the media after her matches. She was fined, you know, and they had the French Open. I believe it's still going on, which is a really big tournament. It's one of their four Grand Slams. She played and won her first round match. She didn't do her interview, and she was fined $15,000, which they told her they would. They also threatened that they could possibly suspend her. She ended up withdrawing from the tournament. And now the reason she doesn't want to talk to the media, she says she's suffering from anxiety, and anything negative from the media really, I guess, amps it up or something to that effect. And I was, obviously this is something I don't know jack squat about, you know, when people suffer from this, but you know, when you're a professional athlete, you'd think you would be a little more accustomed to dealing with, you know, negativity, mm-hmm. or, you know, and the media as a whole, you know, and I get that, you know, she's really young. I mean, we're looking at a girl who's only 23, and I don't really know what to think, and I kind of wanted to get your opinion to see, like, where you are or how you feel, or maybe you know somebody who suffers from anxiety. I don't even know anybody. So,
you know, it's one of those, it's hard to, it's, you know, you, everything with today is so mental health, you know, mental health this, mental health that. Everyone's upset. If, you know, if you don't take it seriously, you know, I just, to me, everyone has anxiety. We're all human. We all come with it, you know. For instance, today my wife's telling me how she wants to order rock to have done. I'm like, well, I haven't even finished putting the stuff where, the preparation to put the rock where it needs to be, you know. And, you know, and to me, I told her, if you order that 10 tons of rock, you're just going to make me crazy, give me anxiety, because now I feel like I have to completely rush. You know, I can't, I'm not one to do, I don't want to see D before I see, you know, finish A. And, you know, it's something we all deal with on a daily basis. And like you said, you know, professional athlete, you know, maybe it's just not for you. And you've got to learn to deal with it better. I mean, at some point or another, you have to face your fear. You know, whatever it is. My dad was always afraid of heights his entire life. So I went up on the roof. I always thought, you know, maybe I was afraid of heights. So what did I do? I went on roller coasters. I went parasailing, where you go 1,500 feet in the air. Am I afraid of heights? Not really. Do I get nauseous on a boat and sick? Yeah, so I won't be doing parasailing again, because I, you know, that's what happens to me. I'm nauseous. You know, I get seasick easily. So, you know, there's that portion of it. But, you know, and here's me just being an ass with an H at the end. You have to get over it. You know, I mean, you have to get over it. Otherwise, you're going to be like, what was that comedian with Bobby's World? You know, he did that game show with the cases. You know, you open the case and you can win $1 million.
Yeah, Howie Mandel.
You know, I don't know how many people remember this, but, you know, he was on the Howard Stern show, and Mandel had an issue with touching doorknobs. He wouldn't touch them. So they closed the door on him in the green room, and he was stuck in there because he was freaked out because he was afraid to touch the stupid, touch the stupid doorknob.
Oddly, he still has a phobia of shaking. He won't shake hands with people.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, and this is me, oh, you're just a jerk, Dan. You don't understand, you know, mental health. No, I do. Issues that I've had as a kid that, you know, I'm not really here to discuss, that put me in situations. But you have to grow up. You have to learn to deal with it. You know, and I think that's one of the things that separates the end of, you know, your generation, where I kind of fall into it. I'm on the cusp. That separates us from what this generation is now. And the other thing is while you may have that issue, I hate to say it, but a lot of people use that as an excuse. And when you continually use it as an excuse, you can't ever get past it. You know, my sister and I had a little conversation the other day, and she was telling me about some things that Facebook popped up, and it was about sad stuff. You know, because she was upset her son left for 2 years to go to Guam on Memorial Day. And I go, well, why is Facebook giving you, you know, putting that up as an ad for you? Well, because I was sitting around listening to sad music all day. You know, and I said to her, I'm like, you know, for me, I cannot process or understand why you would do that. Well, you know, that's what you do when you're sad. I'm like, well, that's what you do when you're sad. But, number one, you're not focusing on the positive, and that is your son is exploring the world and, you know, experiencing a life that she and I and our family in general have never experienced. And he's making something of himself, you know. But people like to continue to just sit there and listen to the sad music and focus on the sadness. And what is accomplished? Nothing. You know, so, and I think that's what happens with people. They dwell too much on it. You keep thinking about it. Well, you give yourself the anxiety and you're working yourself up over nothing. You know, everyone is afraid of public speaking. Yeah, I guess I was for a second too, but, you know, when you have that class, you just get up and do it and you get over it. And you do it once and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Kind of the same thing with wrestling, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you know, hey, you're cutting a promo. Excuse me, what? You know, so.
Well, and not only that, Well, and not only that, and I'm sure this happened, well, maybe not to you, but it happened to me where I messed up. you know, my wife, girlfriend at the time, was like, oh, I don't think anyone noticed. I'm like, did you not notice there was three people in the ring? I was one of them. The one guy was on the ground, and the other guy was waiting for me to climb the top rope to drop the elbow. And what did I do? I got my left foot up, my right foot slipped, and I fell off the top rope.
You let go. You know, there's nothing happening to do about it. So, you know, you just keep
going.
That's all it is. But you gotta, that's kind of, you know, and I don't want to use the term soft because I don't really believe it applies here, but it seems like everybody, maybe sensitive is a better word, because, you know, the media is negative pretty much about almost everything. So, I mean, if they can't say anything negative about this girl, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, you can look at any player and they've had something negative said about them. I mean, you know, if one of the NBA players has a bad game in the playoffs, what do they do? He gets ripped. You know, I mentioned before you jumped on today that Michael Kay, my favorite baseball announcer, just ripped the Yankees and singled out DJ LeMahieu and I believe it was Aaron Boone. So, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it's part of life, good, bad, or indifferent. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, and like I know Osaka pulled out of the tournament. She was going to play as kind of what they call the warm-up tournament before Wimbledon, but she's now pulled out of that. I haven't heard if she'll be going to Wimbledon or if she'll, you know, if she'll end up doing something else. But, you know, I mean, as young as she is, I would hate to see it ruin her life. But, you know, I mean, she just kind of, you know, there's got to be somebody out there who she can see for help, right? I mean, obviously she's got the money to do that.
Well, not anymore. She lost $15,000. You know, it kind of goes back to just the generation that they're brought up with. And then I'm not going to, like, I'm not blaming the, you know, younger people, my, you know, younger sister included. But, you know, the biggest conversation we had about youth sports is the participation trophies. And you'll see these memes on Facebook, you know, the kid who gets the trophy that's in last place, you know, gets the trophy next to the team that's in first place, and, you know, everyone gets a reward. There's an award ceremony and, you know, all this stuff. And then at the end of the day, that's what they're used to. They don't get criticized. You don't get any of that anymore because it's not right to do that to the children. You know, nobody gets held back. The only time in school you get held back is if you're a late birthday in August, you know, September. Because then, it's just a matter of maturity, but, you know, you fall in that area where do you want your kid to be the youngest when they go to school or the oldest, you know. But other than that, you could be failing every class, but thanks to our federal government, no child left behind. You don't fail. You may not know jack crap about any of the subjects in school, but you're going to get passed along through each grade. And then you're going to graduate high school, and then someone's going to ask you, what's 5 plus 5, and you're going to say 7.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's not like, ooh, you have to criticize and demean them. No, I'm not saying that. But you have to be realistic. You know, I had a mini argument with someone on Facebook because, you know, it was about tattoos. And, you know, every day I was in a tattoo group, and I just thought it was fun. I was looking for pictures. And every day someone asked, ooh, does this hurt? Does this hurt? I'm like, well, it's a freaking tattoo. What are you? You're getting poked with needles. it's going to hurt regardless. You know, and this girl starts telling me, oh, well, you know, you're a genius, you know, being sarcastic and all this. And I'm like, well, you know, you're asking if something hurts, but you want to be a person about tattoos, but you haven't even had one. You know, I'm like, I don't know. And I guess for me, it's like, you know, it's going to hurt. Is it going to hurt more or less? I don't know. And not only that, Big Jack, you and I can get a tattoo in the same exact spot. And you're going to sit there and go, oh, that was nothing. And then here's me, you know, passed out, drooling, you know, because my tolerance was worse than yours. You know what I mean? So everything's subjective, but you sit there and, but the thing was, she got so defensive because I didn't agree with what she said. It's like, you know, you realize it's okay to not have the same exact opinion, beliefs. You know, despite what you see on the media during our presidential elections. And that's the one thing that drives me nuts the most. You know, the right wants to blame the left wants to blame the right. And we're just sitting, you and I are just sitting here in the middle like you're both idiots. You know, you're both allowed to think differently.
Yeah, that does seem to be a bit of a trait now when it comes to this stuff, is you can't have two opinions for some reason. I don't understand that. But yeah, no, that's what I, like I said, it was a little off topic for, you know, what you and I generally discuss, but I thought it was something we needed to kind of delve into, and I guess when Wimbledon comes around, if she decides to play, but you know, jumping back in, I did, forget to ask you while we were on baseball. Did you like the Southside uniforms? Because I thought they were pretty cool.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. The hat was pretty lame, though. I don't know. I think whoever designed that just kind of dropped the ball. I don't, it really wasn't CHI kind of in the same, I don't know. I didn't really care for that one. But, you know, everyone at the stadium was like, oh, how come they don't have any? I'm like, dude, if you're a real fan, you would have known. You sold out in, like, 5 hours. Like, you got to be on top of this stuff. You know, I mean, Tim Anderson stuff sold out in 4 hours, and I think the entire team sold out in 8 hours of every size.
Oh, wow. So.
Yeah. You know, and then, of course, everyone's like, are they – you know, when are they redoing them? Like, no, that's a one-shot deal, dude. They're not coming back. But I don't know if you did see all the memes with Tony La Russa, though.
With the sideways hat?
Yeah.
I did see that.
So, I mean, you know, I follow a Cubs memes page, so they were just having a great old time with it. You know, just the things like, hey, can we, you know, I'm a young, cool kid. Can we go do some vandalisms together? You know, I don't know. The things they were coming up with were just kind of classic. So that was pretty funny. But no, I thought it was something cool.
Hey.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, the theory behind it, though, Big Jack, and this is the one that makes, that doesn't really equate to me. And I wanted to kind of get your thought on this. So, you know, Nike is part of, you know, Nike is the reason these jerseys have come about, kind of like at the NBA with the City Connect jerseys, which, I mean, let's be honest, how do you even keep up with the NBA? Every team has like 12 jerseys now. I mean, they're at the point where they can wear a different jersey every game, and you're like, what the hell team am I watching? Except for the Bulls. The Bulls just have the red, white, and black and things like. But supposedly these City Connect jerseys, you know, they've only done Boston. They did Boston, now they did the White Sox. And I think they only have about 5 other teams they're doing it with. It's supposed to attract a younger audience. I mean, what do you mean by attract another audience? Are you just looking for jersey sales, or are you actually looking to get fans? Because, I mean, I seen a guy on an Instagram page who was a Raiders fan and was in, you know, like the Bay Area, and all these young kids, you know, going up to, you know, name your favorite Raider. Name the best Raider. And about 90% of the people he asked didn't know a single person on the Raiders. Half, you know, 80% of them didn't even watch football. So, I wanted to get your opinion on what you thought these jerseys would really do. Are they really going to attract a new fan base, or are they just going to, you know, do nothing? You know, is it just to create more sales? Because I kind of felt like I was under that impression.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, the whole we have alternative is for jerseys. I mean, that's the bottom line with, you know, any, if you, you know, the different hat coming out with different stuff and newer stuff because they, you know, I mean, whether, you know, while it's a sport, it's also a business, you know, and Nike is money. So they're going to do whatever they think they can to make money, any which way they can come across it. And, you know, maybe you get a kid who sees the jersey and likes so much that he watches a game, you know, so maybe you pick up a fan here and there, but you're not going to get that many out of it. You know, I mean, it's not going to change anybody. And, you know, like you mentioned, the Raiders, you know, they were so popular for so long because they're so black and everybody likes the colors, you know, whether they know anything about football or not. And, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. You know, you buy it because you think it's cool. You know, and you don't necessarily know thing at all about the game, you know, be it baseball or football or, you know, basketball, hockey, whatever jersey you're buying, you know, you just see it and you think, oh man, that's cool, I want that, and then buy it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see people all the time in my work wearing stuff that I would be willing to bet don't know jack squat about the team they're wearing. But, you know, again, that's, you know, they want to stay in business just like, you know, you and I want to stay in business. So we find ways to continue to do it. So, but we'll see how, you know, see how it goes. But, you know, you brought up the NBA and their jerseys. Have you watched any playoffs? And, you know, I mean, I know I wrote Saturday in the blog how surprised I was that the Lakers got eliminated. Were you as shocked as I was that they went away?
I kind of was. I mean, is it the league finally realizing that no one buys their BS, that they, you know, encourage the officials to assist in helping along the way? I'm trying to be
that was
political.
That was a nice way to say it. I don't know. I was so surprised that they lost that I could figure it out. You know, and obviously I don't watch games. I don't enjoy the product at all. You know, anymore. I used to be a real big fan back in the day, but now it's just kind of blah. You know, I just can't watch guys stand around at the 3-point line and shoot or dunk. You know, I mean, I know I watched the one highlight I saw from Game 6 when they were talking about LeBron was he was posting a guy up and he shuffled his feet. And you clearly see him shuffle his feet. He steps before he dribbles the basketball two or three times. And, you know, that's traveling. But it wasn't called. Mm-hmm. And then he went in and I think. So, you know, it's just the. You know, and the odd part about it is, you know, these guys are great athletes. There's no doubt about it, you know, with the things they do and, you know, all this other stuff. Yet, for whatever reason, the NBA refuses to enforce their rule. You know, and it's like, do they not think these guys could adjust to what's going on? They're super talented. But, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, and, you know, so there's a couple of things. You know, LeBron broke that rule. There was no repercussion towards him. We all know that. LeBron also came out after, you know, being so excited about this play-in last year that whoever decided that should be fired. So, you know, he said that first, and he broke that rule, and nothing happened to him. But he lost. You know, obviously I didn't see anything with the Suns. It would have been even funnier if, you know, Lamar Ball got his way and his son went to Phoenix. And to Lonzo, this would have been poetic justice to the T if Lonzo Ball was there on the Suns. Obviously that didn't happen. But, you know, you kind of wonder if the basketball gods worked everything out to where LeBron received his punishment, so to speak, and the worst possible, in the one way that would hurt him the most. I mean, because let's think about it. If you take him out, you take him out of those playoffs because of that rule he broke, what ends up happening? All we hear about from the time that the Lakers lose until next year, if LeBron was in that series, you know, it would have been, you know, we would have had all those guys all season long, you know, for the next year. Just talking about, well, if LeBron was, you know, didn't get in trouble, they would have made it to the playoffs, you know, that BS. But here, you know, I don't care so much that he didn't get punished, so to speak, because he ended up getting his in the end. And, you know, and the worst part about it,
you know,
I don't want to. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your point.
No, I was going to say, I don't want to hate LeBron. I joined that bandwagon when he was on the Heat. But after seeing the way he acted with that leg cramp, I mean, he lost a lot of respect.
Yeah, no, well, you know, and like you were mentioning, you know, what you didn't mention was the fact that LeBron James attended an unsanctioned NBA event, which goes against their COVID-19 protocol. In most cases, that's a 5-suspension. He got neither. Your guy Kristaps Porzingis went out to an unsanctioned NBA event, which just happened to be a strip club, and he got fined. So, yeah, figure, you know, and I know LeBron went to some function or something like that. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't out at the strip club. But even so, it was unsanctioned, and there were no masks worn, and rules are rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't apply to LeBron. You know, they don't apply to LeBron.
No, I'm not.
You know, and, you know, the NBA almost makes him likable with the way they put, you know, stuff him, shove him down your throat.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing.
Let's look up and come back tomorrow and see what's going on.
Some radio.